Everybody bring their Bible. Hallelujah. Let's lift them up, shake them around a little bit, make the devil nervous. He doesn't like you having this. This is a sword of the Spirit. So let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I'll be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'll never be the same. Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
I'll never be the same.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You know, last week we were talking about the tithe. And we didn't get finished because, you know, I'm sorry, when God's moving, I'm not going to interrupt Him. I just love for God to move. And if it takes us all day to have church, that's just the way it is. But we didn't get finished last week, so we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up where God left off last week, and He's really dealt with me on this. And it's not, I was talking to some people during the week about the message, and it's not, I started out the message, I got the first note I've got, says, God doesn't need your money. And it tells us in the Word that my Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your money. He needs your faithfulness.
Amen.
He needs you to be faithful. He needs to know that He is above everything else in your life. That there's nothing that comes before Him.
Yes.
That's what He wants to know. I've got to where I look at things and people say something, I'll say, this is a test. This is only a test. You know, they used to do that on the radio. I think they still do some. This is only a test of the national emergency broadcast, whatever. I never paid enough attention to get any further than that. But, you know, sometimes I feel like that's what God's saying. This is a test. This is only a test. So we're going to pick up this week where we left off last week. I want to go over a few things. We looked at in Exodus 13:2 last week that whatever opens the womb, both of man and beast, the firstborn, God said, it's mine. It's mine. It doesn't belong to you. It's mine. That's what He said. And it plays on down through there. If it's the first fruit, it belongs to the Father. It's not ours. We don't have a say over it. We do. We can keep it, or try to. You won't keep it. You can withhold it, but it'll go away. You can't. And in Genesis, we looked at Cain and Abel. And Abel, he brought an offering of the firstlings of the flock. And it was acceptable to God. And Cain, in time, when he was ready, how he was ready, and what he was ready to give, he brought it as an offering. And it didn't call it the first fruit. It said an offering of the fruit of the ground. He just brought him, you know, gathered up some vegetables and dumped them out, you know. And God didn't accept it. It was not the first fruit. And this is what this message is about. Is about, what are you, this is such a generous, loving, generous congregation. I am amazed. We're so blessed at the generosity of the people here. What God is dealing with me, I want everyone to receive what God has for them. You know, just being generous is not, it doesn't cut it. Just being good won't get you to heaven. And just being generous won't get you the blessing, get you, lift that curse. It says, we'll get to that in a minute, but We have to do this in God's way, in God's order, in His time, in His place, in His way of doing things. If we do it in our own way, then what have we done? We walk around like this, patting ourselves on the back, and, you know, I do this, I do that, but do you do it according to what the Word of God says? Joshua. We went over Joshua last week. The Battle of Jericho. And God said, I want you to kill every man, woman, and child in the city. I want you to destroy, utterly annihilate, kill the cattle, everything, the sheep, the chickens, the goats, kill them all. And all the gold, the silver, the iron, and the brass. I want it sanctified for me, for my account. Why? Because that was the first city. And he wanted the first fruit. Now, as soon as they went through a little deal, somebody decided they were going to keep a little something, and they got whipped the next time they went up against somebody. But they found out who it was. They rectified it. They repented. They got things straight with God. And they went in and they utterly destroyed everyone they went up against. And God said, all of the spoils are yours now. It's all yours. And it's the same principle as He gives us on the tithe. But we've got to give Him that first fruit. We've got to give Him that first fruit. And then everything else is ours. And He will cause the 90% to go further than the 100%. But Joshua, you know, he took Jericho, and it was the first city, and that was God's, that was the first fruit for God. So I want to start this morning in Proverbs. And we're going to start in chapter 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 12. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Now I want to go back and look at verse... there's so much to go back and look at, but for the sake of time, let's go back to verse 9 and look at that. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. He still wants the first fruit. That first fruit. If somebody gives you $10 bills, which one is the first? Which one is the first fruit? The first one that you spend. That's the one that God wants. He wants to come first. He wants to be first in your heart, in your life. And in verse 10 it says, He wants the first fruit, and in 10 it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you're faithful, He's faithful. It's a covenant. There's two sides to every covenant. And he says, "Son, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." I look forward to the Father correcting me, because when he does, it's for my own good. It's not because when God started dealing with me on the tithe, it wasn't for him. God got along just fine without 10% of what I make. He can get along just fine without 10% of what you make. Can you get along just fine without giving him the first fruits of your increase? That's the question. It's not about getting money from the people. It's about getting the blessing to the people. We have to do it the way the Father laid it out, or we might as well not do it at all. And that's as simple as it is. If you want to receive salvation, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. If you refuse to do either one of those and do it your way, I don't believe that you receive the salvation of the Father. If you try to do things your way, if you can't do it the way that God laid it out, then you are going to miss out on what He's offering you. And He's corrected me several times on several things. Boy, I mean, it just proves to me that He really loves me, because He corrects me a lot. Because there's a lot of things He needs to correct me on, and I need it continually. But it says, For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. He is my Father, and He does. I mean, I remember my dad correcting me. God's a lot more gentle sometimes, but sometimes He's a lot less gentle too. I mean, He can take me to my knees in correction. But if I'll let Him, He'll do it just very gently. But I gotta be listening to that still small voice. Let's go back to Malachi. I say back because that's where we ended last week. And we're not going to read the whole third chapter like we did last week. Last week we read the whole third chapter. I think that we should go back and read the entire book of Malachi over and over and over. It's a prophecy. And that prophecy is as good today as it was the day it was given. Verse 6 is where I want to start. And this is God talking. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So why do we think, well, that's not for today? He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We like to quote that until it comes to something that we've got to do. And then we go, well, Malachi's in the Old Testament. That really doesn't count. Because we're dealing in the new dispensation. And this is what a lot of people preach. You know, and I'm sorry. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." That gets into that question and answer that Doug was talking about a while ago. And God knows our hearts. He knows what our questions are before we ask them. "But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, Wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I love this verse in the King James. There's a lot of different versions I prefer over the King James. But in the King James, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How cool is that? God rebukes the devil for me. I think that's cool. God does that for me. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. That's where most people preach on the subject of tithe. Last week, I tried to cram a lot in there. We looked at the entire third chapter. But we're going to stop right here in Malachi. We're going to look at this. The first thing we looked at, he says, I don't change. This is what I said. This is how I said to do it. This is what you need to do, and I don't change. So what makes us think that we can get by with something different? He laid it out, this is what to do. And it's no different than anything else that he laid out. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And we start getting our own thinking in there. And we think, well, man, if I give 10%, then I'm not going to have enough to get everything paid and still go do what I was going to do. And your plans they're not consequential to what God's plan is. It's God knows what He's doing. And He said that if you'll bring that tithe in, that first fruit, and you bring it in, He told these people right here, and He's talking to us just the same as He is talking to them. This is a prophecy for all of us. He said, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And we wonder why we're in the trouble we're in. You're cursed with a curse because you didn't do what God laid out. And if you do it the way that God laid it out, if we do what God put before us and we give the first fruit, the curse is lifted. It's taken off of us. We're taken out from under that curse. Now, Jesus freed us from the curse of the law. But we looked at last week, the tithe is pre-law. The tithe came in Genesis, in the beginning. And it was from the heart. And Abel's offering was acceptable because it was the firstlings. It was the first fruit. And God accepted that and He liked that. And He said, this is good. So the tithe is pre-law. And we're free of the curse of the law, but He said you're cursed with a curse if you don't do this. If you don't, and this is the only place that God said, test me. Try me out. Test me. And we talked about last week the word that they used for test, for try, is the same word that's used for testing the quality of metal. And it's for proofing it, and it's God says, prove me. See if I'm not a good quality metal here, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But He tells us that He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm waiting for that. I mean, God blesses me. I'm blessed beyond what I ever dreamed that I would be blessed by God. But I'm waiting for that not room, and I'm not talking about stuff or money. I'm talking about the blessing of God. I don't have enough room to even hold it. In my heart, in my life, in my pockets, in my bank, in every aspect. He said, test me. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't receive. And I was listening to Robert Morris, and I like the way he put it. He says, he got there and he says, and, kind of like, if you order now, and if you order now, we're going to include this in the deal. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, and that's part of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be the light of this world. We're supposed to be the example. And when people in the world go, I don't know what they're doing, I don't know what they got, but I want some. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to be. But will a man rob God? Well, would none of us, I don't believe, would intentionally, with malice in our heart, rob God. I don't think we'd rob anybody. But yet, I think that each one of us has been guilty of going, you know, I just can't do it this week. I just can't do it this time. I really didn't make enough to really... But we rob God when we do that. Because we put ourselves before Him. And He wants to be the number one thing in our life. Before ourselves. God wants to be before my wife in my life. He wants to be before my children. Now He says that my wife is supposed to be very dear to me, very important to me. My children are... And if I don't take care of them, I'm less than an infidel. But He wants to be before that. There's an order that God put in effect. And we have to follow it, or we're just whistling Dixie. I mean, we're a tinkling bell. I mean, it's... If we don't have love and we can do all these things, but if we don't follow the Word of God and do what He says, we've done nothing. And verse 10, He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Prove me now. This is a test. This is only a test. See what happens. See if God's true to His Word. This is a good place to try Him out, because that's the only place He said, try me out. The curse is lifted from us. And I've got a little note in my Bible here. Curse is lifted, you know. Hallelujah. We have the ability to step out from under that curse. When things aren't going right, when you just can't win for losing, it says that we're more than conquerors. It says that we're blessed. If you can't win for losing, you need to stop back up, take a little inventory, and see if you can figure out why. Look at what you've been doing. Look at your life and just say, God, show me where I'm lacking. Because your word's true and it won't return void. Whatever you said He can't lie. There was no sun, and He said, let there be light. There was a sun. There was light in the day and a moon by night. Let there be light. He spoke it and it was. Whatever God speaks, He can't say anything that's not true. Whatever He speaks is true. Because if He speaks it, it becomes. So when He says that we're cursed with a curse, then we're cursed with a curse. But when He says that He'll rebuke the devourer, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we don't have enough room to hold. When He says He'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes, and it says everything's going to go good. It says that He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. That means everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be good. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And people, they keep saying, oh, well, that's, you know, Malachi's in the Old Testament, and we go by the New Testament. Well, the New Testament continually refers, just about every page in the New Testament will refer you to something in the Old. It's valid. He said, I don't change. So let's look at Matthew. I want to go to Matthew. Marion brought it up that I didn't get that one last week, and I told her, I said, well, I think I was going to use Luke, but she was right. I had Matthew in my notes. But Matthew 23, now Jesus is getting on to the scribes and Pharisees. I mean, He's telling them how the cow ate the cabbage. And in verse 23, He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. So Jesus said, you ought to tithe. Jesus said, you ought to tithe. Now, if the Savior of the world says, I ought to do something, He is my salvation. And He says, I ought to do something, consider it done. I'm going to do it. It's a strong suggestion. Jesus said you ought to tithe. And it says the same thing in Luke 11 and 42. I don't think we need to go there, but I mean, if you want to look it up, it says the same thing. And what I look at is any time that things are repeated from one book to another, or if Jesus is talking and He repeats, you know, several times He repeats something a few verses later, that makes it important. It's in there more than once so that we make sure and catch it. We make sure and get it. But Jesus said that we ought to tithe. And I'm going to add one on you, Marion. I'm sorry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 9, I'm going to add that. Now, in Malachi, I read that when Jesus said that we robbed Him, and we say, how did we rob Thee? And He says, in tithes and offerings. So I wanted to go, and I didn't mark it or anything, so y'all hang on a minute. This is something God gave me before we left yesterday. Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, and we're going to do 5 through 9. Now He said, tithes and offerings. Now Cain made an offering unto God. But he hadn't brought the first fruit, so his offering was rejected. It was not acceptable. An offering is not of your first fruits. An offering is an offering. It's something that God puts in your heart and you give from your heart. It's over and above the tithe. Your tithes and your offerings. Now, I looked and I thought, well, how do we rob God of our offerings? The 90% belongs to us. But let's read this real quick. It says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that you would go before unto you and make up beforehand their bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound.